God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master.
I've entitled my talk this morning, His Eye is on the Sparrow. I had the immense privilege of having a father who loved birds. My father was a bird watcher before anybody ever thought of that term. When he was 16 years old, he used to go out into the woods near Philadelphia and just stand there very quietly with his hands behind his back. He always taught us that if you want to see things and hear things in the woods, you stand with your hands behind your back, because any sudden movement of your hands will scare an animal or a bird that you might otherwise get to see. And he would just stand there and listen. And when he would hear a bird, then of course he would try to see it, and with his bird book, identify what it was, and he also imitated the calls of these birds. And my father could imitate the calls of 60 different species of birds to perfection. So that when he grew up, he joined the Delaware Valley Ornithological Club, which was just a group of laymen that went out looking for birds in the woods on Saturdays. And my father would sometimes leave the crowd and sneak around into the woods and into some thicket. And he would make the call of a bird that really didn't belong in that area. And he would have the whole crowd just plunging through the thorns, trying to spot this exotic bird that belonged somewhere else at that season of the year. But my father would often give lectures in schools and churches showing slides back in those days. Nobody ever shows slides anymore, do they? But he would show the slides and talk about the habits of the birds and, of course, give the calls. He would always end those talks, even in public schools, with these simple lines. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the robin to the sparrow, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." You all know that lovely song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." House finches, all kinds of finches, are closely related to sparrows, as any of you bird watchers know. To try to tell the difference between a female finch and an English sparrow, for example, is almost impossible. The females of both the finch and sparrow families are almost all exactly alike, sort of brown and white and striped, and it's very difficult. Well, one day, Lars and I came home last spring from a trip that had occupied more than a week, I think. And we had left the bathroom window ajar. We have the casement kind of windows that have the hinges on the side. So this window was left ajar, and we came back to find the beginnings of a nest in the vortex between the window and the screen on the windowsill of our bathroom. Well, the next day there was more nest, and finally the next nest was completed and beautifully lined with some soft stuff that the birds had found, and we realized it was a house finch, a lovely little bird that's sort of purplish and brown. And then one day there was an egg, and the next day there were two eggs, and up till 5 days we got five eggs. And we could watch literally everything that went on in that nest from 6 inches away. It's right there on the windowsill. It was a wonderful thing to watch the care of both the mother and the father. The mother did most of the sitting on the eggs, but the father was always hovering nearby, and he had a special little call we could always hear when the father was coming. And his wife would also hear that call, and she'd get a little bit excited and fluff up her feathers. And of course, one day there was one hideous little critter that had come out of one of those eggs. It was wet and red and featherless and craning its skinny little neck. You can't even imagine how anything like that could have come out of an egg that size. I just studied and studied it, and I thought that there's no way that that thing was in that egg, because the whole head alone was bigger than the egg, it seemed to me. But anyway, we watched all of this, and then most marvelously, the way they were fed. And on one occasion, I watched that father bird, that house finch, feed all five of his babies, not missing any one of them, and he didn't go in the same order, but I kept track, and every single one of those five babies got 11 mouthfuls on this one trip. 55 mouthfuls. So I thought, now where did that all come from? I mean, the bird, there's no way he could have had as much as five mouthfuls in one, in his beak. And Lars figured out that he was regurgitating, which of course is what many birds, and I think animals also do sometimes to feed their young. Well, who taught them how to make the nest? Who taught them how to weave it together? You and I couldn't in a million years build a nest out of straw and sticks and twigs and make it so neatly round inside and then line it so smoothly as they did. And who taught the birds that they had to sit on the eggs and feed the babies when they appeared? Well, of course, it was our Heavenly Father. And his eye is on the sparrow. But we also know that he watches us, don't we? And it's a wonderful thing to think about what Jesus said about sparrows. Are you not of much more value than many sparrows? It's comforting. It's one of the sweet little truths that we receive from Scripture. But then he also says, your Heavenly Father notes the sparrow's fall. God allows sparrows to die and to be shot and to be killed by other birds. God allows all sorts of things to happen. And there was a very unpleasant sequel to this lovely little story of our being able to watch these birds in this nest, because after they had all flown, I came into the bathroom one day and there was what looked like black powder on the windowsill inside. Not where the birds could have been, but inside on the windowsill. And I thought, well, now where did this look like soot or something? And I made the mistake of blowing, and I got a face full of the soot, and it turned out to be lice. Bird lice, which are tinier than the smallest period on a typewriter. I thought it was dust. So that gives you an idea. So I had creepy crawly things on my face, my hair, they got into the bed. I was sitting at my desk, which is a million miles from the bathroom, and there they were, crawling up and out. I mean, they were all over the place. Well, when the birds left, the lice stayed, and they came into the house. And I've always heard that all birds have lice. My mother used to tell us never pick up a dead bird on the sidewalk, which I always wanted to do, because she said that it would have lice. And I certainly found out that there's this lovely side of God's creation and this utterly horrible and incomprehensible side. And God knew what he was doing when he created those lice. I mean, it was so impossible for us to imagine that something that tiny could actually bite you, bite your skin. We would be waked up at night with these little things biting us. And you couldn't just squeeze, kill one with your finger. You had to take your fingernail. You've seen other kinds of lice, and they have a hard shell, as tiny as they are. So I want us to think today of the dark side as well as the light side, the side that we don't understand, the side that we would much prefer to avoid. I'm sure that many of you heard about the little boy, I think it was here in Missouri, wasn't he, who got lost, a little four-year-old boy. And the temperature was 10 degrees, and he was gone for 3 days. And when they found him, he was still alive. And I saw the picture of the old man who had a sort of a slouch hat, looked like a real nice farmer type. And he said, and I looked down on that creek bed, and I saw his little boy there. And And that little boy had been warmed by two stray dogs so that they kept him warm. Now, God obviously sent those stray dogs, and they disappeared after the little boy was taken home. The man asked the little boy, "Do you want to go home?" And he said, "Yes." Wonderful story of God's care. But then we know of all the other stories where the child was never found. And God has this mysterious way. You know the words, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? If Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.